Good morning. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 8. Verse 42 is where I'll be launching my text from. John 8:42. But we'll be looking at a lot of the verses here in John chapter 8. Now in verse 42, we read that Jesus said unto them, he's speaking to the Jews here. He says, if God were your Father, ye would love me. If God were your Father, ye would love me. And that's the subject of my message today. If God were your Father, what would you do? What would you do? Would you love Christ? Or would you be like these Jews here who would not hear the Lord Jesus Christ? But to them for whom God is their Father, we understand by his grace and experience that he loves his people. God is very gracious to his people, and he provides for his children just as a father provides for all his children. God is the father of his children. So if God were your father, what would you do? What would you do? I want to emphasize before we begin the grace of our God for his people. I want to emphasize the grace of our God for his people because there's not a man or woman among us that can will ourselves to be a child of God. We can't will ourselves to be a child of God. Turn over to John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1, and we'll read verses 12 and 13. We read there that as many as received him, as many as received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now some would point to that verse and say, aha, there's the will of man, birthing himself to spiritual life. But really, in reality, what our God is showing us is that it's by his power that we believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is the first cause of our receiving Christ and believing on him. And that's clarified, that's declared plainly to us in verse 13. Look there. Which were born, those that received Christ, were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. None of these things of our flesh gave birth to our spiritual life, but of God. We're born by the will of God. That's why we believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So man doesn't will himself to be a child of God by his decision, but rather God giving us life and faith. That's how and why we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for God's grace. And we see this again in Romans 9, verses 15 and 16. We see that God has a people whom he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. Look at Romans 9, verse 15 and 16. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. You know, Moses here is a type of the law. And the Lord says to the law, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, because no man can come to me in the strength of the law. No man can come to me in the strength of his own flesh keeping the law. So I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then, Paul concludes, just like in John chapter 1, verse 13, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. All right? It's not by my decision, nor is it by my good works, but of God that showeth mercy. God shows mercy and grace to whom he will, because he has a people whom he loves and will be gracious and merciful to them. And so our God is speaking to us of the spiritual birth, a spiritual birth, one not of this flesh, not controlled or worked up by this flesh, but one that he gives by his glory and power and grace to whom he will. He pours out his Holy Spirit on whom he will, and the Spirit gives us spiritual birth, makes us born again, just like our Lord said to Nicodemus, he must be born again. Nicodemus, you don't understand the things I'm saying because ye must be born again. And when the Spirit comes upon a dead sinner and gives them life, he gives them a spiritual life, a heavenly birth by the Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished in and by God our Savior. And so the gift of God in Christ our Savior is this gift of the new birth. The new birth, whereby we are washed in the blood of Christ and we're forgiven for Christ's sake. We're forgiven because Christ laid down his life to obtain life for us. And he made us alive in the life of Christ, and we're given faith by our God to believe him, to look to him. So now let's go back to the beginning of our text with that understanding, where Christ our Lord and our Savior says in John 8:42, if God were your Father, ye would love me. Today I want to look in the verses here, mostly, well, all from John chapter 8. We're going to look at 9 spiritual blessings that our God gives to us in Christ. And these are declared by Christ here in this text, some things positively. Right? He's telling us the fruit born out in the child of God. And some of these blessings we see in the negative. That is, in him saying to the Jews, you don't do these things. So that whether Christ is saying these are what my children do, or what he's saying to these Jews, you don't do these things, we see 9 things, that 9 spiritual blessings that our God gives us in Christ, by Jesus Christ. I've titled it, If God Were Your Father. If God were your Father. So let's read here this first one in John 8:42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he's one with the Father. If Christ is one with the Father, how can there be any disagreement? How can there be any disagreement in us by loving the Father but not loving the Son, or loving the Son and not loving the Father? It's impossible. Christ, the Son of God, and God the Father are one. And so if we love one, we must love the other. It can't be any other way, because it's a work of our God. We're going to love the Son and the Father. If God is our Father, then we will love all that are begotten of the Father. We'll love all that are begotten of the Father. Now, the Apostle John, when he was writing, he wrote this gospel. He also wrote the epistle, 1 John. And a lot of what John writes in 1 John, he's draws a lot of what's said here by our Lord in John chapter 8. And John chapter 8 is laced in much of the epistle of John. In fact, in 1 John 5, verse 1 and 2, John writes, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You that believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe because you are born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And Christ is the only begotten Son of God. In addition to Christ, he also says in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And so that is certainly true concerning the Son. Right? We definitely love the Son because he's begotten of the Father. How could we not love Christ if God is our Father? It must be so. Now, in keeping God's commandments, let me just say, he's speaking of, we're going to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That's his command, to look to the Son, to believe him, to trust him for all our righteousness, all our salvation, all our sanctification. We believe the Son. That's keeping his commandments. Because the Son, if you that have the Son have everything, you have everything. And he gives us spiritual knowledge and understanding in him. Now, there's a real love for Jesus Christ, which is born in us by his Spirit. And that's because he truly loves us. Our Savior loves his people. And we see that our Lord came in the flesh and laid down his life as the Lamb of God, doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We were born dead in trespasses and sins. We're unable to work the righteousness of God. We're unable to believe our God and to trust him. And so Christ came in the flesh, holy, spotless, perfect, and as the Lamb of God went to the cross, bearing the sins of his people, and laid down his life under the wrath of God, bearing our punishment to put away our sins, to atone for our sins, to obtain eternal forgiveness with our God, and to give us life in him. And so now, having life in him, we love him. We love him because our Savior is a successful Savior who accomplished that will and purpose of God which he came to do. He did not fail. And because he obtained eternal life for all who are in him, all chosen in him before the foundation of the world, we shall know him. We shall believe him. He will fill our hearts and our minds and give us life and salvation in him, so that we love him because he first loved us. Also from 1 John 4:19. So if God were your Father, Christ said, ye would love me. And we know him now by his grace. Over in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we read of our Savior, who being the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so now we see our Savior ruling and reigning, implementing the word, the will and the purpose of God here in his kingdom on the earth. And so nothing's impossible for our Savior to accomplish. Nothing's impossible for him to do. And what does he do? The next thing we see is that he gives us his Spirit, the new birth. I know I talked about this, but this is one of the 9 blessings that we receive in Christ, for whom God is our Father. Look back at John 8:23. John 8:23. Christ says to these Jews, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. We're just like these Jews by nature. We're from beneath. We're earthy. We're born of the seed of Adam. We're corrupt and defiled and sinful and full of darkness by nature and enmity by nature. But if God were your Father, ye would be born again. For those whom God is their Father, he will give them that spiritual birth, being born by the Spirit of God with that heavenly spiritual seed of Jesus Christ, him who is from above. We're born by the seed of Christ. Peter words it this way in 1 Peter 1:23. He says we're born again, not of corruptible seed, That's the seed of Adam. We all were born the first time of Adam's corrupt seed. But we're born again of the incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And because we are born of the Spirit, we are given spiritual understanding. To know, I can't save myself. I can't do these things. Our God has provided his Son, who did all things well, all things perfect. He's accomplished salvation for his people. And all who look to him shall never be ashamed, and shall be satisfied in the Lord, as our God the Father is satisfied with his Son. He gives us new spiritual life to look to him. And so, having this spiritual understanding, we see another thing where our Lord said to the Jews in John 8:15, he tells them, ye judge after the flesh. Well, that's because that's how we all live, after the flesh. We operate according to the flesh, naturally. We judge things according to fleshly things. And we get upset and hurt by fleshly things. And that's how we live until the Lord gives us spiritual life and turns our hearts and eyes upon Christ our Savior. When Paul was writing to the Colossians, he says in Colossians 3, verse 6 and 7, he says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. And so Paul is saying, we're honest, we're sincere and honest. Yes, in ourselves we are sinners. In ourselves we have nothing to boast of. And in ourselves we have nothing to bring to our God, to recommend us to our God and to obtain favor and mercy from him. We have nothing. All we have is sin. But in Christ is how we come. In the blood of Jesus Christ, having nothing to boast of ourselves, nothing to bring before God and say, Lord, will this do? No, we have nothing. But our God covers us in the blood of Christ. And that's how we come. And so we live by our Lord and Savior, by the Spirit of God, and we've received the Spirit, which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Spirit makes known to us. And so if God were your Father, you wouldn't judge after the flesh. We don't continue. We don't look to do that. We don't look to labor and work and build up this strength. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our all, for every need, for everything we need. Our God has provided it all in his Son. And by his Son, we are delivered from the bondage of sin and death in this flesh. Now, being set free in the Lord, that brings us to our next blessing, that we're set free by the Son of God. Look back in John 8 and verse 32. Let's look at 8:32, and then we'll look at verse 36. Our Lord says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so Christ makes us to know the truth. He makes us to hear the gospel. He makes us to hear what our God is saying to his people, that it's not by works of righteousness. We're not laboring under that bondage and threat and fear of the law. We'll know the truth. We'll hear the truth of the gospel. We'll hear the good news that Christ has paid it all. Christ has accomplished our redemption. Christ has reconciled us to the Father. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that sets us free. Christ is the one who is our liberty. He delivers us from laboring in fear, laboring in religion, and thinking that these things recommend us to God. He sets us free from the law and works and trying to make up for some wrong that we've done, and shows us that's not your salvation. That's not cleansing you. That's not giving you any benefit with God. But he shows us that in Christ is how we're received and accepted by our Father. And that's liberty. And that's a song to sing. That's a song that we sing whether we're at work. That's a song we can sing at home. That's a song to sing when you're driving in the car. That's a song to sing whatever you're doing. Because our Savior has paid the price, and we are reconciled to Holy God even now. And so Christ is the deliverer sent of God to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And so if God were your Father, you are made free by the Son of God. Those for whom God is their Father, he makes them free in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who says to the prisoners, go forth, go forth. I've set you free. I've delivered you from fear of death and laboring in those dead works that cannot save. And so our Lord teaches us and shows us that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth in him. Romans 10:4. And so our God now accepts us in the blood of Christ, because that's what pleases him well. That's what he is pleased with, and that's how he freely receives us, all who come to him, not trusting in what they've done or this work or that or what they've put away. We come trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ alone, only him. Now, for all of God's children who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord shows us in response to these Jews. Look at John 8:39. He shows us that we'll do the works of Abraham. He says to these Jews, John 8:39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. What are the works of Abraham? What is it that God justified him and that we read of that God imputed righteousness to Abraham? Why did God impute righteousness to Abraham? Because Abraham believed God. He believed what God had told him. Romans 4:3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so the fifth thing that we see is if God were your father, ye would do the works of Abraham. If God your father, you'll do the works of Abraham. You will believe the Lord Jesus Christ is my righteousness. I'm the sinner. I can't save myself. And you would look to him whom God sent to save his people. You would look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's people do the works of Abraham. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We look away from self and trying to earn a righteousness of our own. And we look to him whom God sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe him. Lord, he is my righteousness. Lord, he is my help, my hope, my all. I have nothing but the blood of Christ, the one whom you sent, the one in whom you're pleased. I come in him, Lord, because I've got nothing. And so we come in him. Galatians 3, verses 6 and 7, and I'll read 9 and 26 as well. So why don't you go there to Galatians 3, verse 6. Six and seven, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Go to verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Go to verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So if God were your father, you do the works that Abraham did. You believe God. You believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your righteousness. All right, 6. If God were your father, you hear Christ's word. You hear the word of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Here he's speaking to the Jews back in John 8, verse 43. He asks them, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." These Jews, just who are only in the flesh, only born of Adam's seed, though they were Jews according to the flesh, they could not understand the spiritual truths that Christ spoke to them. They could not hear him in the spirit because they didn't have the spirit of God. All they were fleshly enmity against Christ. But you that are the chosen seed of Christ, you can hear Christ's word. You hear what your Savior says, and you delight in the good news that Christ is all, that there's nothing more for you to do. It's all the works are finished in the Lord, and we believe him, and we walk in the faith of Christ, being led by his Spirit, ever looking to him. And so we believe his word to the saving of our souls, because that's the blessing that God gives to all his children. Listen to this in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 15 and 16. Our Lord says, "This people's heart is waxed gross. It's fat. It's heavy with lard, and it's a heavy heart that cannot hear. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." But, he says in verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear." That's a blessing of God. You that hear the word of Christ and believe that he's all your salvation, and you rest in him, and you look to him, and every time you look away in grace, he brings your eyes back to look to him and keep you on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a blessing of God. That's what the Father does for all his children. They see and hear and are blessed of God. Now another thing. Back in John 8, 21, verse 21. Christ says to these Jews, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me. And you shall die in your sins. Where I go, ye cannot come." Well, the seventh blessing that we see is that if God were your Father, you will know the way. He will show you the way. And Christ tells us the way. He told us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." That's in John 14, 6. So if God were your Father, you will follow Christ. You will follow Christ. Because Christ is the way that the child of God goes unto the Father. We know no other way. Our Lord keeps us in the way. He keeps us in Christ. And so really, when we say these things, there's no mystery here. We're saying it's not by our works, nor is it by our will. But all the fruit that is produced in us is spiritual fruit, which is given to us freely, graciously by our God in the Son, Jesus Christ. And so we keep looking to him, and we come to the Father in no other way but in Christ. You know, I was thinking, recently we were invited to Brethren's house, and they made us a real nice meal. And I was thinking, I'm always a little cautious to ask for salt because I don't want to insult them, but I like salt. So I added some salt, but I'm always a little cautious that I hope that this doesn't upset them or insult them. When it comes to our coming to the Father, don't add anything to Christ. Our God is pleased, well pleased with the Son. He's provided everything for you, his child, in the Son, Jesus Christ. We come to him. He's the covering for our nakedness. His blood forgives us of all trespasses and sins. There's nothing you and I can do to make that any better. It's perfect. We come to the Father in Jesus Christ with nothing added. We come in Christ. He's the way. Now, The eighth thing is that the child of God, he continues to follow Christ. We don't come one time, but our whole life, he's our air that we breathe. He's the food that we eat. He's the drink that we drink. Christ has made everything to us so that we continue in his word. And he says here in John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples." So eighth, if God were your father, you will continue in Christ's word. He'll keep you there. He'll keep you in Christ's word, believing him. Because if God were your father, you are Christ's disciples indeed. It's a truth that he makes effectual in your hearts. And he keeps you following Christ. We come at the first, and we continue to come through the Son. Now, look at verse 51. John 8:51. Our Lord tells us the ninth thing here. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." He'll never see death. So if God were your father, you will never perish in eternal death. You that, for whom God is your father and the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall never perish in your sin. Because Christ gives all his sheep eternal life. 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." It's that simple. We come in Christ and in Christ alone. Our Lord also said to these unbelieving Jews in verse 24, John 8:24, he said, "You shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." And so the unbelievers, they all perish in their sins. They have no righteousness. They have no covering for their sin. They have no one to speak for them, no one to advocate for them. But you, children of God, have Christ. He's our advocate. He's our covering. He's our righteousness. He's everything that we have to come to the Father and be accepted of him and to be faultless before his throne. Now, in closing, Christ faithfully told these men the truth. And we read in verse 59, John 8:59, "Because he spoke the truth to them and told them, if God were your Father, these are the fruits that will be born out in you. You that trust him, this is the fruit that he reveals. They took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Well, that's not what believers do. Believers don't pick up stones and cast them at our Savior for telling them the truth. We hear the word of Christ. So if God were your Father, ye would love Jesus Christ. And we do love him. We love him because he laid down his life for us. And he gave us life. And he speaks that word in our hearts. And we hear him. And we believe him. And we follow after him. And we cry out for him. That's the fruit of the Spirit, ever looking to him. And so we love him because he first loved us. Amen.